Good morning, church. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's a privilege to be here this morning to share God's Word with you. I hope you got some sermon notes as you came in. If not, you can go to our website, fbcpowell.org, click the Sunday morning page, and you will find them there. Pastor Perry is on vacation, Perry, Tana, and the kids in Texas. He texted me this morning, prayed for myself and for us as we look at Romans 1 this morning. Speaking of Perry, I'm reminded that it was a year ago, or right around this time, I think it was a year ago last week, that we voted Perry Garrett to become our senior pastor. And to celebrate that anniversary, you get to listen to me. What a year it's been, amen? Sharing this with the elders, just kind of reviewing a little bit as we on Tuesday night as we walk through our proposed budget for next year. No, we're not going to talk about money this morning. I was reflecting a little bit on where we were a year ago versus where we are now. Do you remember a year ago? How could we forget, right? A year ago, we were at the very beginning of a worldwide pandemic with really no idea what it meant, at least not in June, what it would mean for most of us. More than half of us were staying at home. Racial tension had just exploded onto the scene of our country. There was a presidential election. We didn't have a senior pastor. We did have a brand new worship pastor, but he hardly even got here before we moved into a pandemic. We were in a holding pattern, waiting for things and people to kind of fall into place so that we could then begin moving in a direction that at the time was really undefined. And yet here we are a year later. We have a new senior pastor. We have a brand new worship pastor. We have a mission statement with missions, pillars, and aims. We have a new direction with new initiatives, our Ecclesial Academy initiative, our disciple-making initiative. We are financially stable. We're growing again. And now we're out on mission again with teams revolving from here, going out to Mill City, Oregon, to literally rebuild a church out of the ashes. Isn't our God faithful? Amen. Have you ever noticed that God seems to operate as if whatever happens in the world has absolutely no effect on him? He does. He's in control. God does what he wants, where he wants, when he wants, and his children, we are the recipients of his grace and faithfulness. And I'm going to pause here for a second. Hey, Ray, can you turn this mic on? This is a new mic. Can you hear me? Technical difficulties, not on them, on me, because my ears are deformed, apparently. But my point is, we can trust our God, even with ears that are deformed. And yet, as we move through the difficult times, we're often tempted to step back, to step away from things, to step out of the game, to walk off the field, as it were, and to stop serving. And you know, that kind of temptation is normal. I remember a year ago, after approving Perry as our senior pastor, a couple weeks from now, approving a new budget, I literally walked off this stage and I said to my very good friend, Stephen McGee, I said, maybe this is a good time to step down and do something else for a while. And he kind of looked at me like I had three heads and I was an idiot for saying that. But that's a normal temptation. Very often those thoughts cross our mind
when we experience very long seasons of difficulty. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to unpack a small portion of Paul's letter to the Romans. So if you would stand with me, Paul writes from Romans 1, as he's carried along by the Spirit of Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we unpack these words of Paul, that you will speak to our hearts and our minds. As Ephesians 1, give us a spirit of revelation, wisdom, and power as we seek to understand this text and motivate us to apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please have a seat. Start with a little background. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Rome while he's in Corinth. He's never been to this church in Rome. He didn't plant that church. He knew very few people from that church. And yet Paul has a very strong desire to visit the church in Rome. We see that actually in verse 11. He says, "For I long to see you." And we see it in other places in Scripture. If you did get your notes, you see that in Acts 19:27. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." Paul had a strong desire to go to Rome. See, Paul had a stated mission and he had a stated vision. You want to see the mission statement? If you go back to Romans 1, just go up a couple of verses to verse 5. He writes, "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations." Now, people get a little hung up with mission statements and vision statements. Some people think they're the same thing. They're not. A mission statement communicates who you are and what you're about. And Paul's mission statement is actually in verse 5. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and what he's about is bringing the obedience of faith in Christ to all the nations. That's his mission. Paul's vision is where he sees himself in some future point. And he desires to be in Rome at some future point, fulfilling his mission. We have a mission statement, right? We do. Our mission is to love God and others. And then we have these pillars and aims that give clarity or break down our mission even more. Our mission isn't likely to change, but our vision often does. Our Ecclesial Academy initiative we recently rolled out, that's a vision statement. It's a vision statement of what we want our academy to look like over the next few years. Our disciple-making initiative that Pastor Tim is rolling out, it's another vision statement. It defines what our disciple making, what we want it to look like in the next few years. So Paul has a mission and a vision, and we have a mission and a vision. Both are given with power to be successful by the Spirit of Christ. And that makes Paul and us servants of Christ, serving to accomplish whatever he wills in our own life, in our church, in our community, and to the nations. By the way, our mission is the same as Paul's. It's to bring the obedience of faith for the sake of Christ, starting in our community and on to the nations. We have a responsibility to the Great Commission. And that brings us to our text this morning. What I want to unpack from these verses is, what is faithful service to Christ? What is faithful service to our mission and our vision? What does it look like? How should we, as devoted followers of Jesus Christ, fulfill our responsibilities to bring about the obedience of faith in our church, in our community, and to the nations? So if you look at that passage, you're going to notice that the word faith shows up 5 times. Faith is the fundamental element of Paul's mission here, the obedience of faith. Faith is the vehicle that Paul is riding in, and yet it's also the destination to where he wants to go. Now, follow me here. His destination or the goal is the obedience of faith or increasing faith. The vehicle we ride in is faith in our God, and the destination where we want to go is deeper and deeper faith in him. It is expanding faith internally inside of us, but also externally in Christ. But I want you to notice, before we get too far into this, what does it look like? There's a phrase in verse 9 that I want to point out. Man, it has tremendous meaning to us here. Look at verse 9. Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Do you see that? Paul says that he serves God from his spirit. What drives Paul to serve the Lord comes from way, way down in his heart. It comes from a place that is so deep down that only God can see and be a witness to. This isn't about outward appearances for Paul. There's nothing superficial in Paul. There's no ulterior motive. He's not working for personal gain or wealth or to be noticed or appreciated. Paul works for the gospel of Jesus Christ from his spirit for the glory of Christ, and only God knows if he's genuine or not. What it means is that Paul's heart is aligned with the Lord. I like the way John MacArthur, he put it in this way. He said, "The aim of Paul's heart is the same as the Lord's aim for Paul." You see that? The aim of Paul's heart is the same as the Lord's aim for Paul. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about aims over the past few months. Again, our stated mission is broken down into these 4 pillars, and each one of those pillars has very specific aims. And yet, I want to point this out. The Lord has higher goals from us than just filling out or fulfilling aims. The Lord's goal for our church, the Lord's goal for you as a follower of Jesus Christ, is that the aim of our heart is the same as his aim is for each of us. His goal is that our hearts are aligned with Christ. We don't want to miss that. Because before we answer the question of what is faithful service to Christ, or what does that look like specifically, we got to first check our own hearts. Because true service to Christ is served from our spirit. God is our witness. Whether we be true or false, only God knows our heart. And only He knows the reasons for why we serve each other in a community. So we need to first check our hearts. Well, let's break this text down and let's look at the measures of faithful service by looking at the example of Paul, who's been given this mission vision with motivation. What does faithful service look like? And how is the vehicle that we're riding in, which is faith, also our destination of increasing faith? First, what's the attitude of faithful service in the church? Four subpoints that I want to point out here. Remember, Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's sharing with them this heart's desire to visit them. He said, I must also see Rome. And the first attitude of faithful service is that we're thankful. Do you ever notice something about the Christian faith? It usually starts with we're thankful. Everything we do in Christ usually starts with, certainly with Paul, is he starts with being thankful. We serve Christ first out of thankfulness. But verse 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Paul thanks the Lord for the Romans. And again, he doesn't know them. He's never visited the church. He doesn't know what they're really like because he hasn't been there. But he's thankful for them. So why is Paul thankful for them? Well, we're at the very beginning of the letter. Is this just some sort of exaggerated greeting? Kind of a big, long greeting? Beginning of the letter? The kind that you get when you pass somebody in the hallway every week and ask them how's this going? And you get this, you know, greeting? No, Paul says that he's thankful for them. Notice this, because their faith is proclaimed in all the world. Remember Paul's mission again. Paul's looking to increase faith around the world. And now he hears about their faith while he's hundreds of miles away in Corinth. Apparently whatever happens in Rome eventually makes it through the Roman Empire. And somehow that includes the faith of the Roman church. He made it to Paul. Paul hears of their faith and out of that he expresses thanks to God. So our first attitude is that a faithful servant of God has a thankful heart. He's looking for expressions of faith and encouraged by it. Thankfulness is a quality of serving with my spirit the gospel of Christ. Second attitude or quality is that we are consistent in our faithful service. Look at the rest of verse 9. That without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers. Paul says he's always praying for the church in Rome. Now, does that mean he prayed for them exclusively? No. Is this some sort of, again, an exaggerated and a superficial way? No. Let's look at this in a larger context. And I put these in your notes. To the church in Corinth, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. To the church in Philippi, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making with my prayer with joy. And then to the church in Ephesus, he says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. You see a pattern here? Paul isn't just praying for one church. He's praying for all of them. As they come to mind, as he remembers them, he always stops and prays for them. And he does that because he is laser focused and consistent in his faithful service. Paul's service to God in increasing the faith of others in Christ is frequent, it is regular, and it is consistent. And he sets the example for us to be involved in frequent, regular, and consistent ministry as we serve Christ with our spirit. And yet our third attitude is that Paul's thankfulness, on one hand, is coupled with his concern for them. And again, verse 10, Paul is constantly praying for them. Well, it may not be explicit his concern for them, but think about it. Why do you pray for others? Why do you pray for others? First, we usually pray in thankfulness, right? We thank God for our spouses. We thank for our family. We thank God for our children, for our friends, for other believers. We're thankful for their expressions of faith. We're thankful for the love that they have towards us and our love for them. We're thankful for their encouragement, that they're an encouragement to us. But do our prayers usually for them end there? No. We often then make requests to God on their behalf. We're deeply thankful for them, but we're also deeply concerned for them. Why? Because none of us are perfect. We all struggle. We all need prayer. Our church has enjoyed seasons of great success in ministry. We're known in our community for some of these great successes. The church has been around for 130 years or more. So there are seasons of great successes. And yet, we're not a perfect church, are we? We have shortcomings. We've missed some marks. What happens is very often God redirects us as he seeks to accomplish his will. And if we haven't learned anything from the past couple of years, we should have learned that. God redirects us. And sometimes his redirections are well received by his people. Sometimes, though, they're not. But that's why faithful servants pray. We thank God for the good things that he has done, and yet we pray with concern for where we've fallen short, and we seek his will for where we go next. Our stated mission doesn't change, but our stated vision does. Well, we've seen three attitudes of a faithful servant in Paul's example. Let's look at the fourth. We are eager. We are eager. Verse 10. Asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. You see the eagerness of Paul here? As a faithful servant, Paul is doing everything he can to get to the church in Rome that he might serve them. He wants to be there. He's pleading with the Lord to let him go, and he longs to see them. He's eager. Why? So he can serve them faithfully. Those are the attitudes of a faithful servant. Because of our faith, we pursue increasing faith in ourselves and in others. We serve with a thankful heart. We are regular and consistent in serving. We're concerned about increasing faith in others, and we are eager to faithfully serve. So before we go on to other measures, how do you rate here? How do you rate? Are you faithfully serving God and others in regular, frequent, consistent ministry? Notice Paul's service is not directed to individuals, but through this letter to a church. Our service to God happens in and through the church. The church is the body of Christ. We are collectively together. We are the hands and feet of Christ as he ministers to the world through us. So, if you're a faithful servant of the Lord and you're intent on seeing others increase in faith, then by and large, your ministry will be in and through the church. But as we just talked about a few minutes ago, 2020 threw us for a loop, didn't it? Maybe in the first half of 2021.
We have a pandemic. It's in the waning here. Doesn't mean it's not waning in other places. We have a severely fractured society. Some might even say that we have American churches are also severely fractured. Some might say that. We have economic uncertainties. We've all gone through tremendous changes in our jobs, our homes, our families. Some, just to be honest, are still fearful. Some deal with a lot of anxiety over what's happened or transpired in the last 18 months. No doubt our church has gone through tremendous change itself, right? We just talked about that. And yet, however, while we've suffered, God has also been very kind and gracious. Again, giving us a new pastor, a new worship pastor. Now we have a new mission statement with all these missions, pillars, and aims. We got new direction. We got new vision with our recent initiatives, such as the Ecclesial Academy initiative and disciple making. And yet, here's the thing. With all of this new direction and opportunities for ministry, we just got to deal with this. Our church is experiencing the same as nearly every other church in that volunteerism has dropped significantly. Brett mentioned that a little bit at the beginning as part of the introduction to worship. He said, if you want or are interested in signing up and serving in the church, every single ministry has needs. And that's because so many have dropped out. The number of those currently involved in regular, frequent, consistent ministry has fallen. It's as if Christians maybe have gotten used to not coming or serving in the church. Therefore, we're concerned that for us to accomplish the mission and to move in the direction that the Lord is asking us to move in, we need church members to get more involved in serving. We need more of our church members to take on the heart of Paul with a desire to serve Christ with our spirit, to ride that our vehicle of faith towards a destination of increasing faith. And we do that by getting involved, according to this text, getting involved in regular, frequent, consistent ministry. We have many opportunities. We have lots of needs across our church. Our audio-visual team desperately needs team members, especially when you got a guy up here that has deformed ears and can't hold the microphone on his ear. We need musicians. We need choir members. We need children's workers. We need greeters. We need people out in the parking lots. We need teachers. We need community group leaders. We need D group leaders. We need volunteers during the week to serve in our office and in our academy. What we need are hearts willing to serve. If you don't know how to do something, that's okay. We'll teach you how to do it. We need willing, faithful servants who desire to see others increase in their faith. And very soon, what we're going to do is we're going to send out, Brett pointed to it earlier, but we're going to send out a list of needs and roles that you can plug into. My point is, folks, if you're not serving, we hope that you will seek the Lord in where you might be able to plug in and serve. And if you're looking for further motivation in this answering this call for faithful service, let's move on to the next measure of faithful service from our text. There's a purpose for faithful service. Boy, is it a good one. Look at verses 12 and 13. Actually, look at 11 and 12. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. See, the reason or purpose for serving in the church is so that we might impart spiritual gifts towards another and be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Do you see that? That is a huge benefit
There's a huge benefit to us personally, but also to the church. Not only are others encouraged by our efforts, but we're encouraged by the faithful service of others towards us. You see, God designed the church to be interactive and relational. It is a living body that works together for the benefit of one another to accomplish the work of Christ together. And that requires us to be involved with one another, expressing our faith, sharing our spiritual gifts with one another. You know, occasionally I come across people that say, they're just being honest, I get nothing out of church. Or I'll come across some that they're critical of church members, certain church members. Do you know who I hear that most from? If I were to make an assessment, I hear it from those who are not involved. We're not serving others. That's where I hear it from. I hear it from folks who only attend the occasional Sunday morning, who choose to limit their involvement with others. And therefore, they're not sharing any spiritual gift or mutually encouraging one another. And when I come across somebody like that, eventually one of two things happens. Either they start coming to church less and less, or they keep coming, but they complain about people in the church. God designed the church to be interactive and relational. And if the Lord is convicting you of having a critical heart towards the church, His solution, according to this text, is to increase your faith by getting involved in serving in ministry with others where you can be mutually encouraged. That's what He's saying. And then Paul cements that truth not only as a mutual benefit of our faith, but also as an eager obligation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verses 13 and 14. In order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Serving each other in the church and with each other in the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than just for mutual benefit. It is also a faithful obligation to our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, and I don't mean to come down heavy here, really that's up to the Spirit of Christ, but if you're a Christian and your involvement in church is only for a few hours on a Sunday morning and your attendance is slowly declining, let's just be honest, you're failing in your obligation to Christ, His church, and His mission. And let's face it, let's not be surprised when the Lord brings discipline, because He disciplines those that He loves. And it could be the reason why the Lord brings suffering into our life. Look at your notes, Romans 5, 2 through 5. Great verse, it says, verse 2, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But then He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So in verse 2, Paul says it's because of our faith that we rejoice in hope of the glory of our God. Therefore, everything is great, right? But then immediately in verses 3 to 5, Paul says that God brings us suffering. Why? To dampen that joy? So that we develop more faith, which results in deeper hope and a deeper rejoicing in our God. So, put that together with our point here. If we're failing in our obligation and service to the Lord and His church, isn't God being faithful by bringing us suffering? Why? To bring us back to His community for the mutual benefit of encouraging and growing our faith expressed by serving one another in the church. You see that logic? And we see a little bit of that in verse 13. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented. See, Paul had this, again, this strong desire to go to Rome, but he'd been thwarted in getting there. What it means is that Paul struggled and suffered in his pursuit of Christ's mission. The aim of Paul's heart was aligned with the Lord's aim for him, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. However, because of the resistance Paul faced, as he saw that God lead him and direct him, Paul's faith was only increased. You know, Paul eventually made it to Rome, but when he got there, he was placed under house arrest for 2 years, after which he was martyred for Christ. And yet, get this. Do you know who it was that ministered to Paul while he was imprisoned in Rome? It was the church in Rome. Paul and the Roman church had a season of mutually encouraging and caring for one another, and together their faith as they served one another was increased. But here's where we come to what I think is maybe the most salient point of the whole message, and it's where I'm going to draw this to a close here. Do you know what faithful service to the Lord and His church ultimately does for us? Look at verses 16 to 17. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, most people approach Romans 16 as a standalone verse. And I certainly understand that. In their deep appreciation or love for that verse, most people emphasize the lack of shame that they have for the gospel, for there's power in the gospel that brings sinners to salvation. But I think there's more here than just that, because look at the entire paragraph. Paul goes on to say in verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Man, what a great summary this is regarding faithful service. Understand what's happening here. The question is, here's the question. Why did the Spirit of Christ inspire Paul to follow up verses 8 to 15, where he expresses his desire to faithfully serve the church in Rome with verses 16 to 17? And it's because the Lord provides a spiritual benefit that comes from faithful service. Watch this. This whole time, remember, we've been talking about faith. We've talked about the pursuit of our mission and vision because of our faith. We said we ride the vehicle of our faith to the destination of increasing faith. We've talked about the attitude or qualities of a faithful servant. As one of your pastors, I've asked you to consider how involved you are in faithfully serving Christ in His church and what that should look like in your life and in your walk with Christ by Paul's example. We talked about the mutual benefit of encouraging one another by sharing and expressing our faith. But here's what I want you to see is what our faithfully serving one another does for us spiritually. Okay? There's two things here. We're going to bring this to an end, but there's two things here. One, verse 16, we are not ashamed. And by the way, this isn't some man-centered macho man stuff that we drum up of ourselves. Here's what happens. What happens when we are faithfully serving in the church and we're mutually encouraging each other in our faith, we are becoming less and less ashamed about the gospel because we are becoming spiritually stronger.
We become stronger as we gather together as a church. We serve one another and we mutually benefit and encourage one another. We're becoming spiritually stronger. Therefore, we're more likely to feel freer to talk openly or publicly about the Lord. Or we're more free to share the gospel with someone because our hearts and our minds are being transformed by Christ in this setting. By faithfully serving in the church, we grow spiritually stronger. It helps us in our witness, for we are no longer ashamed. That's a huge spiritual benefit to faithfully serving each other in the church. And secondly, what I want you to see is verse 17. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Notice those words, from faith for faith. The righteousness or right standing is revealed from faith for faith. Again, that's a progression, from faith for faith. We ride the vehicle of our faith towards the destination of increasing faith, from faith for faith. Our original faith is growing within the church and it extends to the community. And the result is that our faithful service, what it does, it affirms our right standing before God. Our faith is an affirmation. Our faithful service is an affirmation of our salvation and redemption in Christ, if we're genuinely serving Christ from our spirit, as Paul did. So what I'm asking you to do this morning is resist the temptation to back away from church or from serving. Resist that temptation. Don't let the pandemic or any other circumstance. By the way, pandemic is maybe waning, but something else is coming, folks. Something else is going to come. Whatever it is, Satan is not letting up. Resist the temptation to back away. Don't let the pandemic or any other circumstance tempt you or distract you from faithfully serving Christ in the church. And folks, if you're not accustomed to serving in regular, frequent, consistent ministry, please consider it. We have many that didn't serve before the pandemic. Asking you to consider engaging and serving. Why? Because there are tremendous spiritual, eternal, and relational benefits to serving together in God's community. We have incredible needs across the board that you can plug into for the mutual encouragement of yourself and others. Would you consider that today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these encouraging words of Paul. His love for the church is an example of how we should use our faith to pursue increasing faith by faithfully serving in the church. Forgiveness if we're becoming stagnant in our faith. There is a solution, and that's that you provided, and that's serving together in your community, because that's how you intended the church to be. Father, you created us as relational beings. You created us. You designed us to have a deepening personal relationship with you and to have deep personal relationships with each other. Father, use us to accomplish your mission as you see fit, and may we benefit by serving you together. Amen.